Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, if I could only get that kiss. We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we am. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan. Hello, and welcome to episode 101 of Flash in the Pan.
Wow, our first post-100 episodes.
Yes. Welcome back. We did it. We've survived 100 episodes, and now let's do a 1,000 more. Why not?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're definitely, given how long it's taken to do 100 episodes.
It'll only be 50 years.
Hang on. So I definitely plan to do this podcast until I'm 80 years old, for sure.
I admire your commitment.
Yeah. That's my promise to you and the listeners.
Don't say that. Don't say that. In 79 years, you're going to get, like, some G-men banging at the door of your cyber flat being like,
"Oh no,
madam.
You promise?
You've got to get back in the game.
You promise that podcast? Please, I need to find my teeth."
I like that you imagine yourself as an 80-year-old woman, like, as Gruntilda. I think that's really in keeping with your personal brand.
Yeah, I fully plan to just lean into it. The green skin, the broomstick, the rhyming, the pot that I take a shit in or whatever. That is an old person thing, I guess. I mean,
don't we all have pots we shit in?
Yeah. I mean, yes. Broadly speaking, it's a bowl, usually, attached to a cistern.
Yes.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
This is a weird way to start this episode.
It really is. Hey, Flashketeers, welcome. Thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate you enjoying our conversations. Except we really do, because it's really nice to have you with us. If this is your first time, welcome, strap in. You can listen to all of our previous episodes and check out all the cartoons we're doing today at our website, flashinthepancast.com. Also, if you like what you hear and you want to support us, you can throw some money at us at Patreon, patreon.com/flashinthepan. We will have more details about that later on in the show. But I think we should start with something that I've never heard of, but something that our fans have been clamoring for.
It was requested, it was brought to our attention in the Discord.
Yeah,
incentive for you to join the Patreon so you can be in the Discord and speak to us directly, because we are real people that exist.
Kind of, yes.
Kind of.
So this is a suggestion from Sardonic, and also I believe we got a couple of emails about this way back.
Mm.
We are going to be watching Bebo the Cat What Has Facial Hair. Is that the full title?
Yeah, we'll watch two episodes because they're not very long.
We're going to be watching the first couple of episodes of Bebo, the Cat What Has Facial Hair.
Oh, that's nothing. Once I caught 10 crocs with me bare hands in the same day. Then I helped a mother koala give birth.
Please, last year I caught 14 crocs, helped give birth to 8 koalas, and strangled a kangaroo all the same day.
One kangaroo? Is that all? I've been known to strangle 4 kangaroos at the same time.
Are you calling me a pussy?
No, I'm just saying.
Significantly less pubic hair.
What the shit?
Well, that was definitely 2001.
Yeah. Definitely.
I don't know where to begin with this, so I'm going to defer to you, Alex.
Sure. I mean, this is certainly unique and distinctive. I would say there's nothing else quite like this, but there is. I think we've seen some stuff that's similar to this that maybe this does.
It definitely has like the lo-fi early Newgrounds style to it. Very kind of sloppy, deliberately ugly.
Yeah.
The animation is very rudimentary. The voice acting feels like it was done through a sock.
There's a potato and a sock.
Yep. We've got ultra violence. We've got random celebrities, poorly implemented JPEGs of people's heads. You've got eyes and mouths that are just kind of drawn on. The most animation that happens is when the couple of times that Bebo's face contorts into feral rage. But otherwise, this is this is very basic from an animation perspective. However, from a personality perspective, you get a real insight into the kind of teenage boy that made this. And that's an assumption, but I think it's true.
Probably the user's profile puts them at an age of 38.
So that means they would have been 15 or 16 when they made this.
Yeah, so that tracks.
Yeah, it has a pretty decent amount of shouting that doesn't sound like it was recorded in secret.
No, in the first episode, when Bebo puts the cigarette out in the guy's eye, that's a scream.
That's a proper scream.
That is a guttural scream. That's not like trying to be quiet because you don't want to wake your parents up. That is like, I'm going to just scream as loud as possible.
Yes. Speaking of Bebo putting out a cigarette on the guy's face, this is a very violent series.
Yeah.
It's bloody. It has... I mean, you know what? Let's go through the plot of both episodes, because it'll be quick.
Sure. So the first episode... Do we even ever learn the main character's name? I don't think we do.
No, I've just been mentally calling him WWF. Is he a celebrity? Is that a known man, or is it just a random guy's head?
If he is one, I don't know which one he's meant to be. So the main character finds his cat, who is called Bebo, smoking a cigarette, and he's like, "You cat shouldn't smoke," and basically chases him around the apartment trying to get him to stop smoking. He keeps finding the cat because he sees like a trail of smoke coming out from wherever he's hiding. The cat like latches onto his face like twice, and it ends with he throws a shoe. He like throws a shoe off his foot at the cat one time, and then the second time just like kind of pulls him off his face, throws him on the ground, and then smacks him with a plunger in time to the beat
of
the song that's playing, which isn't really a song. It's more just kind of a poorly done drum loop.
Part of me thinks it might be from a Nine Inch Nails track.
Ooh. I mean, they got some really good drum tracks in their song, so I wouldn't be surprised.
So listening back again, I think it might be from Gave Up by Nine Inch Nails off the Broken EP. If I'm wrong, then someone please email in and tell me. anyway, sorry. Yes, back to the plot.
Okay. And then second episode is a little bit more involved. The dude and the Bebo are at a Christopher Walken's Shack of Potatoes, it was called.
Christopher Walken's Shack o' Mashed Potatoes.
Mashed potatoes, nice. And they get served a sandwich by Christopher Walken, who's working at this place.
Yeah.
Because it's his place, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, like, it cuts away to Crocodile Dundee and Steve Irwin.
Yeah. Well, they call him Paul Hogan, the actor who played Crocodile Dundee. So he's not in character. He's just dressed like that normally.
He's just dressed like that because what else is Paul Hogan known for?
Yeah, he's the Crocodile Hunter, and Steve Irwin is Crocodile Dundee.
Yes.
Steve Irwin's there too.
Steve Irwin is there too. And I don't rightly remember the conversation, but like... Steve Irwin says something, yeah, because it's really poorly done Australian... They're not really... It's like someone trying to do an Australian accent, but it just sounds more like British than anything. I'm not even really sure what it sounds like.
I had trouble making it out because of the audio mix, because the sound loop is so... much louder than anything else in this.
It doesn't help the guy trying to do a voice and like use Australian slang and stuff. But he says something and then I forgot the actor's name already. Crocodile Dundee. It's like Paul Hogan. He's like, you called me a pussy, and Steven's like, no. And the next thing you see is like a cutaway, and Steve Irwin's just like been thrown across the bar.
And he's bleeding out.
And he's it's a funny thing. He goes, I think my leg's broken, but he's like bleeding out. It's like your leg's not just broken. You also, I think, suffered a severe head injury.
Yes.
You're bleeding. And the guy's like, oh, who stole my sandwich? And he finds out it was Crocodile Dundee, so fights Crocodile Dundee, but kind of gets beat up by him, and then he's like, Bebo, avenge me, and Bebo flies down Paul Hogan's throat.
Yes.
Which kills him instantly.
I mean, if a cat forced itself into your mouth and down your throat, you would also probably die.
Thinking about how that would feel is really bad, so I'm going to stop thinking about...
Well, Alex, you are a cat owner. So you are closer than I am to realizing this dream.
Yeah, that's what I'm able to visibly, really, really visibly. I'm gonna stop. And then and then Bebo bursts out of his chest with the sandwich, and the guy's like, "Oh, my sandwich!" And then Christopher Walken comes over, and is like, "If you kill one more Australian in my restaurant, I'll kill you."
He doesn't say I'll kill you. He says. I swear to God, if you kill one more Australian in my restaurant, I'm going to put this phone in your ass.
He pulls out a phone, old phone. And then they laugh. They both laugh, but then the main guy like slips over, and then that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... these episodes, and like these are part of a long series that we may very well come back to in future. But
maybe.
These are kind of just anarchic expressions of, hey, you know what would be funny? And what's funny to this creator is noise, mostly.
Well, I mean, it's a long-established fact that loud equals funny. Like, yes. even Zoomers, even Gen Z understands that. Loud equals funny.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the kids love noise.
It is funny when something's loud.
It's funny when something's loud.
I won't lie. If something's funny already, but it's loud, it makes it, like, twice as funny. That's just comedy science.
So I do want to bring folks' attention. And Flesh and Tears, like, if you do watch them, obviously, headphone warning. But
oh, yeah.
make sure you pause and just look at how people are drawn, especially... Steve Irwin and Paul Hogan, because the shot where they're first introduced sitting in the Australian section, they are so lumpy and awful looking. Like, Steve Irwin's finger is melting. He's got the biggest calves this side of a powerlifting tournament.
Gold.
I know, right? I really like that they got a picture of Paul Hogan, but they drew his hat on him as if there weren't already several photos.
I appreciate
of Paul Hogan or Paul Hogan already dressed as Crocodile Dundee. I think that's real dedication to the craft.
It shows that the animator is willing to go the extra mile. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Such passion in one so young. Mm-hmm, you love to see it.
Love to see it.
Like, is this good? I don't know. Not really.
I don't know if it's good. I wouldn't say it's good.
But am I happy that it exists in the world? Yeah, I
definitely.
Suppose.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. I think the world is richer for having Bebo the cat, what has a mustache, be a part of its lexicon.
Yeah, yeah. Although by the second episode, it's just called Bebo again.
Yeah, I mean, it was never... So it's only ever referred to as Bebo the cat, what has a mustache, in the description of
right.
the first episode. They're all just called Bebo in all caps. And part two just says, it is the second episode of Bebo. Love it. I think that's an instruction. I think that's a command.
Here's what you've all been waiting for.
Now enjoy it.
Support Bebo by visiting the Bebo store at www.godfart.com.
Excellent.
Which is a truly wonderful website name. And back in 2001,
inspired.
You could get that website name.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have cost that much.
Yeah, now you'd probably have to go for, like, godfa.rt, probably.
Let me see. Yeah. Hold on. I can buy this domain for... $1,500.
Well, I mean, if they've got a payment plan, you can pay that off over 12 months, it's not so bad. The proud owner of
Godfart.com.
Godfart.com. Oh, wow.
Yeah, not .biz.
Not
like .us. Not .edu. As you may expect.
.edu.
Yeah, that's Bebo. What more can you say about Bebo? Bebo doesn't really do that much during the second episode. I wonder if that will become a theme, that Bebo is kind of just like the big guns.
Yeah, maybe.
Because in the first episode, Bebo is like a proper... antagonist or protagonist, depending on your perspective.
Yeah, and then the second episode is just kind of like the very, very end. He's like, avenge me, and he just kills Paul, what's his name, Paul Hogan?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. I was about to call him Troy Baker. I don't know what's... I just can't keep this man's name in my head.
Troy Baker, who famously Australianly plays
Crocodile
Dundee.
He could do an Australian accent if he wanted. He's a very talented man.
That's true, but I don't think he ever dressed like this. Troy Baker, if you're listening, please email in.
Please write in.
@gmail.com.
I loved you in Marvel Spider-Man : Miles Morales.
I loved you in Crocodile Dundee.
Yep, also Crocodile Dundee, where you famously played the titular role.
Yeah, like, this is kind of, like, one of the platonic ideals of a Newgrounds cartoon. Like, if you picture something in your head,
this
like,
is it.
Hey, what was on Newgrounds in 2001? It's like, this.
Yeah, this was it.
Just like the really janky DIY aesthetics, the noise, like the adolescent humor that was probably funny to the people who wrote it, or person who wrote it, and like a handful of fans. It's not funny. It's just noise.
Well, we haven't touched on. Someone liked it enough to, I assume, make a custom song for the second episode.
Yes, you're
because
right.
Because if you listen, like, every few bars, there's just a voice that goes, Bebo. Like, that's all the way through the episode.
You're right, you're right. Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
Maybe we should learn more about the wonderful world of Bebo, the cowboy has facial hair.
Maybe we should, because I haven't said the word Bebo this many times since I was, like, 14. Remember Bebo.com? Remember that MySpace revival?
Oh.
Bebo.
Bebo? Was that just a UK thing? Bebo?
I feel like a majority of people that I knew used it. Bebo was an American social networking website. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, I was never on Bebo. I was too unpopular to be on the popular kid websites. That's why I went to, like, Zelda forums.
Hell yeah. That's where the social interaction is really at. That's what they don't tell you.
Yeah, I was browsing Zug.com for all of my needs.
Okay. Let's do the segment that we lovingly refer to as a flash. Bebo.
Bebo
is created by Fabulous 999. The episodes are uploaded September 23rd and October 29th, 2001. Episode 1 has got 933,838 views, and episode 2 has got 415,291 views at the time that we're recording this. The creator is based, or was based, when they created the Newgrounds account out of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They mainly uploaded their episodes between 2001 and 2004. They took 3 years off and came back in 2007 and then just dropped Bebo Part 10 and Bebo Xmas. And then they took another 5 year break and then just came back in 2012 for Bebo Part 11.
Wow.
So there used to be a website for the creator called murderfoot.com. This has gone offline sometime last year, I believe, 2022. But using the Wayback Machine, a post in 2018 about the creators being excited for Bebo Part 12, 6 years after Bebo Part 11.
Mm.
Bebo Part 12 does not seem to have existed in any capacity anywhere online. I don't think it ever happened. Outside of that, the creator does not have much social media presence. They set up a Twitter in 2010 and only ever posted 42 times.
Goodness.
Not really much anywhere about what they've worked on in recent years. I found an Instagram, which indicated that they may have done some freelance 3D model work for some company based in Chicago, but I could not really find much past that. That's what I got for Fabulous 999.
I have a few things.
Oh yeah, cool.
Well, we can also go to godfart.com. Wayback Machine.
Of course.
And you find, like, a small personal website for the creator, whose name, I believe, is John.
Okay.
Also his friends Sean and Dan. And they appear to have, like, spent a few years making these Flash cartoons and making comics as well.
Cool.
Making blog posts with titles like Testicle Farting Rectal Wart.
Yep.
Or Stuff. Stuff Indeed. Which is the title of the blog which announced Part 9 of Bebo. Yeah, they made an awful lot of weird little comics and so on. Unfortunately, I have not been able to find much in the way of, like, actual backups of these comics. It is tough. They definitely had a forums, which appears to be where most of this stuff was posted. And they had a lot of there are links on the sidebar to websites like Spudoinkle Animations and Geodogs.
Wow.
Yeah, so that there were a lot of various pingbacks and connections with other small time Flash and comic creators.
Got a little community going on. Very nice.
I think so, yeah. Like, you know, a couple of dozen comments on each post and that kind of thing.
That's wonderful.
It's kind of nice to get this snapshot into like this small group of creators.
It's nice when people come together to make stuff. I think that should happen more.
Yes. At one point, one of them, and again, I cannot tell which one's which from the avatars, but one of them was working on a website for a company called Royal Tone Studios.
Okay.
I don't know what that is, but that's a thing they were doing. Some kind of music thing. I don't know. The Internet Archive is spotty sometimes in its in the things it's preserved.
I feel like most creators try music at some point.
Well, this appears to be a website that they made for a company.
Okay.
Back in the day when, like, Flash-based websites were all the rage.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Bebo. Bebo?
Bebo.
Bebo?
Bebo? did you look at the comments?
Go on, then.
Okay.
Yeah, I can start.
I'd like to read the first one.
My mistake. Go ahead.
It's okay. I want to read this one because it's very special. So Demonic - Authority, July 4th, 2002. They said I come for the sacrifice. The master guided this piece, but we all know that the mortal worshippers of Satin are idiots. God inspires Genesis, Satin - morons. I take the writer's soul and send it to God. Quote, we don't want it, end quote. I then take the sacrifice. At least my master will get something out of this.
What on earth is happening?
I don't know.
Is that a joke?
No, I think they're mad.
Is that someone actually proselytizing on Newgrounds?
I think they're mad because the Pope is in the first episode.
Oh, the Pope problem. Was in the first episode.
Yeah. Here are the other comments I got.
The Pope was in the first episode talking about needing to borrow some money so that he could go freebasing with Robert Downey Jr.
Friend Robert Downey Jr., yes.
I have one here which I very much like. This is from Durdit, D-R-D-T. November 7th, 2001. Bebo rules. You'll like it. This is funny. My friend told me about Bebo, and I laughed my ass off. I gave it a good rating. I want more Bebo. I can't wait.
Okay, can you spell it? This doesn't sound like you can spell it.
B-E-B-B-O. Bebo.
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 Hmm. Bebo?
Yeah. 5 stars.
Clay Bokta, Clay Bokta, 2002, posted February 24th, 2003, said, this sucks. Holy fuck, that was the shittiest show I have ever seen in my entire 80-year life.
Wow.
Now,
they're old enough to have done 1,000 podcasts.
If that's true, that is incredible. The idea of an 80-year-old person watching Flash animations on Newgrounds in 2001 is a really fun one.
I agree. Jeremy Locken in 2001, November 8th, gave it 5 stars. This is on Bebo Part 2.
Mm.
And said, I saw Sean. Hey, Sean, that is you in the movie. Ah, good use of killing horrible, quote, celebrities. The funniest part, was when they were slapping at each other when fighting. We need some Ned Flanders action on this. Fabulous 999 responded, saying, "Actually, Sean didn't make this. John did. Me, not Sean. I threw him in there because he was whining."
Wow.
So so that one random other person in the diner is Sean.
Wow.
So there you go.
There you go.
That's Sean. Oh, yeah. Hi, Sean. That's Sean in the big boy t-shirt.
God. Oh, I wish I had a big boy t-shirt. That would be so good.
All of my t-shirts are big boy t-shirts.
That's very true. We got... this is... I don't know if this was their name or it's been changed to this, but Band User, December 19th, 2006, said, "Love you. I made like 10 alts for fives. Smiley face."
Artificial now, rating inflation? What is this, RottenTomatoes.com?
I feel like if their name wasn't indicative of what happened, I think we know why they were banned. Because I think that's probably against the rules.
Yeah, that's a confession.
to do that. Hey, if you commit a crime, don't publicly confess to it.
My favorite recent crime was a couple of guys at was it PAX or some other
gaming
convention.
The Magic the Gathering thing where the guys fucking walked out with all the stuff, and the way they identified them was they were wearing the t-shirt for the game they developed. Is this what you're talking about?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You fucking god. Fucking stupid.
It's so good.
What do you mean? Like, when someone's like, that was, they made that game, I was like, surely nobody is that fucking stupid. Good fucking God.
People are that stupid.
Wow.
It just happens.
Wow.
It just incredible. Happens sometimes.
Incredible.
Okay. 2001, November 10th. Behind, but it's spelled with an 8 instead of a B and a lowercase I. It's weird. 80 Hind gave it only 3 stars out of 5 and said, "Pretty good. I'm an Aussie and..." Oh, sorry. "Pretty good. I'm an Aussie and deeply offended by these shocking, shocking Aussie accents. However, that Paul versus Steve thing was pretty good. Steve is just a dickhead, though. Nobody in Australia really likes him. But Paul Hogan is a bloody funny bugger. Please send all complaints to flashandthepancast@gmail.com.
I don't think that's true. I think people loved and adored Steve Irwin. I think he was very much a national treasure.
Well, this is 2001.
Yeah.
So this is like approaching the peak of Steve Irwin saturation. I don't know. Mm. Australian Flashketeers, let us know.
Let us know. And then
let's do one more.
Grayski. From April 11th, 2023, just said, "Man, this shit is lit.
The kids are all right.
The kids are all right. The kids are all right." That's Bebo, the cat who has facial Bebo. Hair. That's Bebo.
Bebo, Bebo.
Bebo, Bebo, Bebo. Bebo.
I can't believe that person just called him Bebo.
Bebo.
3 times. They say Bebo like 1,000 times in the soundtrack.
It's even in the song. It's right there. It says it. It's spelt right on the screen. You say it in the cartoon. It's in the song.
It's wonderful, is what it is.
Proofread your posts, guys. It's really important to, you know, before you put things out in a world where 2 people can make fun of it for like 15 years later, make sure you know proofread your stuff.
I know, right?
You want to be the equivalent of the guy who misspelled something one time in 2018 in a group chat, and now everyone just continually makes fun of you for it. Is that what you want?
I think it is what they want.
Hmm.
We should move on to another cartoon because Bebo is sapping our brains. Clearly,
Bebo. I'm just gonna keep doing it. It's very funny to me. Let's move on before Tom's brain leaks out of his ears.
Okay, so this next one is one of our most requested Flash things ever. Mm-hmm. we've been getting people clamoring at us to do it since we started, basically. So if you're one of those many, many people, then you're welcome, because we are finally going to talk about Saturday Morning Watchmen.
Oh no, Adrian! Looks like the Reds are polluting the city lake! What do we do?
We call the Watchmen!
Strong together, united forever, they're the best of friends. But when trouble's about, you'd best watch out for the Watchmen.
Now is their leader, and he loves to party down. Rorschach's friends to the animals.
Yeah, when he's not clowning around.
Why nutty?
Beat up some thugs, say no to drugs, be in bed by 10. But if trouble's about, you'd best watch out for the Watchmen.
I never get tired of that.
It's always great. I always cringe at the the part where they talk about Rorschach being a friend to the animals.
Rorschach's friend to the animals.
No.
When he's not clowning around.
Why? No.
So,
not a friend to the animals.
But before we start discussion, I'm going to say, hey, full spoilers for Watchmen. You should go and read Watchmen. Watchmen's a very good comic.
Yes.
The
movie exists.
The movie also exists. Yeah, read the comic. It's great. So we're going to be spoiling the hell out of it. Whoops. Anyway.
Whoops.
So this is both a love letter to Watchmen, the comic, and also a loving parody of, like, crappy Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a very kind of late 80s, how the hell do we market this to kids kind of thing going on. Which makes sense, right? Like, the joke is, okay, Watchmen, this famously adult-oriented, unflinching, sometimes very difficult exploration of heroism and vigilantism.
Yeah.
And also, like, warfare and trauma and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it into a cartoon for kids. And they did this so much, right? There was a Toxic Avenger cartoon.
Toxic Crusader.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You know, like RoboCop and Alien were hugely popular with small children.
Yeah.
Actually, I recently watched, it was a newsreel of, like, a news channel in Texas had, like, gone out into the street and interviewed, like, parents and small children who had just seen Alien. And it's great. So the reporter asked one of the kids, "Do you think this would be suitable for all your other little friends?" And the kid just like looks at them like, "No."
No, Alien is a scary movie that is not for children.
No,
I would not, never show that to a child.
I know, right?
No, that's way too scary.
But the 80s was full of that stuff, right?
True.
Terminator, you know?
Yeah.
Even before 1990, Terminator was like, huh, he's the coolest thing. He's marketed, like, as a cool action guy, even though he's a frightening villain, because he's played with such charisma and panache. You know, like, there are so many of these. The Predator. Was there a Predator cartoon? There was probably a Predator cartoon.
Probably. They just did a cartoon for everything they could get their hands on.
It's funny. It's very funny. And it's also, it's the kind of, like, funny, which is, like, hilarious on the surface, but also, like, if you know the source material, then every joke hurts a little bit in a really good way. Because it is like a deliberate twisting of every character trait of every character.
Oh, God. It's the first time, like, they're the best of friends. It's like, no. No, absolutely fucking not.
Strung together? Maybe. United forever? No.
Nope. Very rarely united at all. I don't think any of them saw eye to eye on anything.
I don't know. I mean, like, there are some things which make sense. I mean, I'm sure that Night Owl really can party down.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. But, like, you can say that for...
But the,
like,
hood has to stay on.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole comedian, like, oh, if I could only get that kiss. It's like,
yes, like horrible rapist, the comedian.
Yuck.
Extremely gross. Yes.
Horrible.
But, yeah. I really do like Ozymandias and Bubastis as like Fred and Scooby. That's an adorable pairing.
Yeah.
Like, especially the way the Bubastis is animated with like this really like floppy dog face. It's adorable.
The only kind of, I think the only sort of truthful part of this is towards the end where they talk about, where they show Dr. Manhattan and he's like, he can give you cancer, and I'm like, yeah.
John can give you cancer and can turn into a car. because no exploration of the dregs of mediocre 80s cartoons would be complete without a Turbo Teen reference. It's great. Like, I think the least accurate thing about this cartoon in terms of representing the 80s stuff of the day is that this is so much better and more smoothly animated.
A little bit, yeah. There's some rough, if it wasn't Disney, it was pretty rough in the 80s era for cartoons.
Yeah.
Even some of the 90s stuff, like I've kind of recently rewatched some of the old X-Men cartoon.
Oh yeah.
And there are bits of that where I'm like, oh dear, that shot's not finished. that needed longer. You needed to spend longer on that. Okay, we're moving on to the next scene. All right.
Well, they had toys to sell. They had to get it out of the door.
Yeah, I'm sure there, is it that there are some bit, it might be the Mega Man TV show. There's like a bit,
there's an animation,
bit of animation where like he pulls out, like he's inside a vent and he moves the vent cover, but like,
yes,
there's no hole.
Yes.
It's just the hole goes with where his hands go. So yes. His like face disappears.
It's great. It's so good.
Oh, and also the fucking terrible, and it's one of the terrible animation in fucking Sonic Underground.
Oh, that Sonic scene Underground.
Where like is it Knuckles is reaching for Sonic who's like falling off a cliff? Holy fuck. Wow. It was rough. It was a rough time.
Yeah.
We didn't know any better then, but looking back on it, it's like, oh shit, this was really poorly made.
Friend of the show, Michaela Thorne, did a colossal 8-hour deep dive into every single Sonic Underground episode.
Yes, she did.
A few months ago, and it is really interesting how much wasted potential there is. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But we're not in Sonic Underground mode. We're in no. Watchmen mode. We're in the Watchmen all get together and eat pizza mode.
I think they could probably solve most of the conflict in the Watchmen if they just had a nice pizza party. That would probably solve most of it.
Yeah, especially after Ozymandias saved the comedian from falling out a window, which is the exact opposite of what happens.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's great. Like this, all of it is so, so good. Also, it is it does what Zack Snyder was afraid to do and actually depicts the horrible brain vagina squid alien.
Oh yeah, I forgot from the finale that out of the movie.
Yeah. In the movie, it's just a big old explosion. Oh yeah, you should maybe explain why Rorschach being friends to the animals is.
Oh, do I have to?
You don't have
to. Really, really hate that part. The first time I read that, I physically had to like get up and like walk away and be like, no.
Rorschach in the comic is much more a big fan of dog violence.
Yeah, he's not a good person. Not many nutty of them are. He is nutty.
It's so much. I love that Silk Spectre is in Gem of the Holograms. It's just Gem of the Holograms. Silk Spectre's there.
Yeah,
that's great.
if only that really happened.
Yeah, it's.
I would love that for her.
It's wonderful, and like, yeah. And like, it's also in terms of like animation quality. We already mentioned how this is just better animated than the average 80s cartoon, but also like it's definitely Harry Partridge.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like, even when he's being deliberately kind of stilted, like it still moves like his stuff. It's still got that fluidity and that kind of squashiness.
Yeah,
which I really enjoy.
He's identifiably his work.
Oh, very much sure. So. Yeah, I mean, obviously he's singing the theme tune, so it's hard to get away from that.
Sing the theme tune.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's definitely a reference. But yeah, Saturday Morning Watchmen, it's really fun. And in another world, you can see that this might have actually happened.
But it did happen. In our world. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, we should talk more about the production of this. Let's talk more about what happened when this came out. Because I think it's time for some Flash. So, Harry Partridge of Dr. Bees and Starbarians and many other very popular Flash cartoons fame. He put this out in 2009, the day before the Watchmen film premiered.
Which was absolutely planned.
Oh yes.
100%. That is a big brain move, Harry.
It really is. When this was released on Newgrounds, it was instantly front-paged. Daily feature, weekly user's choice, review crew pick. To date, on Newgrounds, it has 1.5 million views. And on YouTube, it has 7.8 million views. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
And yes, very beloved by everyone else who saw it. So, in the description for this, Harry describes how this combines two huge passions of his, one being Alan Moore and the other being kids programming from the late 80s, which he says was his biggest animation inspiration. I'm going to quote now. Quote, "Believe it or not, one of the first ever things I ever animated and programmed was a crappy side-scrolling Rorschach game.
Whoa.
Where you go around beating up street punks. It was not only a fucking awful game, but totally and unironically misinterpreted the source material. I would like to think I've grown somewhat since then, but here I am, 5 years later, doing exactly the same thing, perhaps just a bit more knowingly." It's kind of great. I do want to touch on the voice actors, because we do have Harry, but we also have Hans van Harken playing Ozymandias, and we have Joshua Tomar playing Bubastis. These two are fairly prolific voice actors. Hans van Harken, previously we have heard him as the voice of Lucario in Super Nintendo.
Oh god.
The dreadful pornographic flash compilation from back in episode 69. Nice. Hans would go on to star in all sorts of things, from Leo and Satan to Smiling Friends to most recently Satina. Joshua Tomar has been in so many bloody cartoons. He's the voice of a couple of characters in League of Legends. He was also in Super Nintendo as the Master Hand and the male
Jesus
trainer.
Christ. Okay. hell. Now you gotta get paid somehow, right?
He was various voices in Ego Raptor's Awesome series.
There we go. That's more like it.
He was in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure as a couple of small characters.
Okay.
He's been in all sorts of stuff, including a lot of anime. He's a regular feature in, like, mostly online animation. He was also various voices in Ed's World, including Santa. He plays Santa Claus in Ed's World.
Oh, we looked at that Christmas episode fucking forever ago. I don't remember which episode it was. Hang on. Episode 38.
There you go. Yes.
Christmas 05.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, those two are pretty prolific voice actors, and they do very well in this. They do the very good kind of exaggerated, annoying voice acting you would expect from that flavor of cartoon. So I think that's pretty accurate. Harry Partridge, of course, we have covered extensively before,
yes,
including the full Dr. B's trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
His most recent work as an animator includes his Starbarian series, which, yes, we will get to, don't worry. But he's also worked on stuff like Hasbin Hotel, Smiling Friends. He's also done fun animated intros for things like Riff Tracks, Comic Tropes, the YouTube series, and lots of other animation work elsewhere. So he is still very much working and very much doing his animation and voice acting thing. But Tom, you may be asking, how did the rest of the world react to Saturday Morning Watchmen? A well-produced cartoon parody that comes out on the eve of the film? Surely people took notice. And the thing is, they did. A Fox affiliate in Boston reported on Watchmen being reimagined as a kids' cartoon. There were also write-ups in the AV Club and other venues. The Blockbuster Buzz blog for The Times interviewed Dave Gibbons, you know, from The Watchmen, Dave Gibbons, artist for Watchmen, Dave Gibbons, and during the interview asked him if he had seen Saturday Morning Watchmen. And he said, quote, "Yes, I loved it. The thing is, obviously they're having fun with it, but the way it was done, you know that the person really cared about what they were doing, really knew Watchmen in detail." And I think that's really quite sweet. Mm-hmm. There were write-ups in various other online outlets, and apparently TV Guide listed the video as one to watch for that week. So that's pretty damn big and very impressive. It's great, like, more than a few people in comments, especially on, like, the AV Club article, were saying, "Oh, I really wish they'd make a proper series out of this." It's like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, we did get a Watchmen TV series.
We did, which... and it was definitely nothing like this.
No, it was meant to be quite good, right? I didn't actually ever get around to
it. I enjoyed it a lot, and also I had lots of problems with it.
Sounds about right for modern day television. Yeah,
I know that Alan Moore hated it, but that is no surprise.
Alan Moore, yeah.
Speaking of Alan Moore, I did look this up, and a lot of times when this is, like, reshared on, say, Reddit or somewhere, they will say, "The only Watchmen adaptation that Alan Moore approves of." I have no confirmation of that, unfortunately. I could not find anyone directly asking Alan Moore about Saturday Morning Watchmen. If it has happened, please let me know, because I would love to see that response, even if he did hate it.
Unless they're confusing Dave Gibbons and Alan Moore.
Yes, which is not something you should do, because they are different people.
Different people. Uh-huh, yes.
But yes, Saturday Morning Watchmen is great. It's great fun. I am very fond of it, and I think it's one of the best and best-remembered Harry Partridge projects for a reason. And also, like, the theme tune, right? We haven't talked about the theme tune. Alex, you're our music correspondent.
Yeah.
Tell us about the theme tune.
I mean, it has been perfectly crafted to mimic the style of the sort of 80s cartoon era, and that's pretty much all he needed to do. it only kind of lifts the already good animation up, and is probably a large part of why this is remembered, because it's not only just well animated, it's also like the composition is pretty much spot on. I guess the only critique, if you can even call it that, that I would have is that if he really wanted to go for authenticity, he should have made it a little crunchier. He should have made the quality of the audio a bit worse.
Yeah, the synth sound in it in particular is quite bad, in a way that is very endearing.
Yes, that's spot on. But the overall production of it actually needs to come down. It's actually too good. It needs to be a bit worse.
Your cartoon's too good, Harry. Fix it.
Yeah, sorry. If you really want to be period appropriate, you gotta make it worse, I'm afraid.
Well, speaking of period appropriate, I think we should get some fun contemporary comments.
Ooh, yes. Go on, then.
Now that's a segue. Oh.
Oh.
You can't see it, but I'm like blowing my fingers out as if they're smoking gun barrels.
I can see it in my head.
Yeah. Let's start with this one. Alex, please take this
okay.
one.
All right. Oh, boy. It's Ericho.
It's our old pal,
He's
Ericho.
He's back. March 4th, 2009. He gave it 4.5 out of 5 and said, here we go again. What better way to celebrate the release of one of the most celebrated comic book movies than to have a flash made by some of the most celebrated artists on this site? This is great. Animation, music, everything. Although I do wish it could have had more of a story. Still, a great flash, and I look forward to seeing this movie.
Yeah, that. Sure. So the reason I picked out this one is that this is an Ericho comment from just when this had just come out.
Yeah, he was there. He was on the ground floor for this one. He's not been trying to review every single Newgrounds thing since or before this. Has he?
You know what? I'm not as up on the Ericho lore as I thought I was. I can't tell you that. I'm sorry.
Well, he's out there. He's fighting a good fight.
a watchman, you could even say.
You could call him that. You very well could call him that.
Darkness Blay.
Whoa.
On the same day, March 4th, 2009, gave it 3 out of 5 and said, painful to watch. First off, before I get a lot of hate mail, I wanted to say I love some of you old stuff like New Tux and A Slice of the Action. And I know you're not a one-trick man, but this was hard to watch. I get the joke Watchman is all dark and sad, and this is a satire. Ellipses. Wait then, why am I being so... Ellipses. No, I must learn to take a joke. Well, I can't say that this was bad, BC, it was not horrible. And it did take you a while to make this. But I can say I like your darker stuff more. Good job, keep the violence coming.
Right. I feel like he got confused. It's like, it's almost like he was starting by like, well, Watchmen isn't like this at all. And then in the middle kind of correcting himself, like, wait a minute. Oh, it's a joke. I love when people have a revelation while they're writing something and write the revelation into the thing that they're making. It's wonderful.
Here's one for you.
Okay. Robert Mister, or Robert M.R., March 1st, 2010. Oh no, 0.5 out of 5 said, a shame, two Watchmen, .. One wasn't funny, comma, two, .. Wow, .. Just wow, but okay, I guess. Could you possibly make... Could you possibly make a better one that shows how awesome Rorschach is, not how silly?
It's so good.
Wonderful. Excellent. Could you make it again, but better? Thanks, Harry. Cheers.
Make it different. Make it so that Rorschach's cool again.
Not quite to my liking. Try again. Thanks. Like he's a fucking, like, chef. Send it back and make it again.
There were quite a few of these, actually. This one by Bored Guy on Computer, June 1st, 2010, gave it 0.5 out of 5 and said, "Come on, man, this just took a crap on the Watchmen just for a bad joke. Why would you even do this? You made a justful killer look like a clow. Frames with the dogs he kills them? I know what you were aiming for, but there were other ways to do it than this. This really angered me. Please don't rip on good movies and comics by bad ways. Just go a different way. Really?"
Frames on the dogs he kills them. Yeah. So you think about that one next time you're thinking of making a Watchmen parody.
It's really
why would you make this? Well, I don't know, probably to get a reaction like this, honestly. Like, knowing his output from before, he was probably fishing for this reaction and also wanted to, I mean, it made people that knew the source material and got the joke very happy, so, you know.
I know, right? Mm. I'm going to give you this last one.
All right.
You might need to step back from your computer.
Oh boy. Shocky Vault, March 15th, 2009 said, "Yes! Read the comic and you will laugh. You're guaranteed!" Smiley face. The squid has spoken, huzzah! And then there's like 20... exclamation points.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Are they talking about the squid from Watchmen? Maybe?
Huzzah!
Huzzah! I was going to start sliding that into conversation. See if anyone notices.
So yeah, that was Saturday Morning Watchmen.
Maybe they were trying for huzzah and just got it really wrong.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Oh dear. It's good stuff. It's very
excellent stuff.
It's very good stuff. So I believe that's everything.
I think that's everything, yeah.
Yeah, we do have a couple of cool things to talk about. First of all, is that as of last week, it is 20 years since one of the biggest Flash animation events in history. Mm. Because it's been 20 years since the original upload of Badgers. The classic Weeble cartoon.
The classic mushroom.
The looping earworm.
Mushroom. Snake.
It's a snake. Yeah, we talked about it way back in episode 16. Weeble has put out not just a new HD version, but also a fun cartoon imagining an alternate reality in which Badgers became a media franchise, which is great.
I haven't seen that yet. I need to watch that.
It's kind of great. It's good stuff. It's very good stuff. And I think it's just been really nice to see, like, the whole internet come together to celebrate this piece of shared heritage.
It was an earworm we all had.
Earworm, but also like all of the memories that the people discussing, like, "Oh wow, I remember when I first saw this," or, "Oh yeah, my brother showed me this." Mm-hmm. You know, like, "My friend emailed me this," and it's really nice. And like, it was a nice reminder that these silly cartoons we talk about are also like cultural touchstones for a lot of people. and Badgers being one of them, I think, is rather delightful.
We will always remember Badgers.
Yeah, it's impossible not to.
I'll always remember. I think the first time I saw it was in college computer lab when we were actually like making Flash stuff.
Really? That late?
Yeah. Maybe I didn't see. I think I'd see probably seen it before, and then someone just reminded me of it, and I was like, oh yeah. And then for a good while, whenever me and my friends would see a mushroom, we'd just be like, mushroom. It was,
oh yes,
it was fun.
Good yeah, time. It was tailor made for just children to yell at each other.
I was not a child. I was very not a child. I was
for
like
children
seven.
To yell
I was
at
like
each other.
17.
That you're still a child.
That's true.
You're a child until you're 25.
I actually agree. I was gonna say I view most people who are like under 24 or 25 as children. You're essentially a child to me. You could legit have a marriage and a mortgage and a job, and I'd still be like, yeah, but you're a baby. Sorry.
Okay, kiddo. Okay, here's a shiny sixpence. Go and buy yourself a gumdrop.
Don't spend it all at once.
Oh, you're a regional marketing manager. That's nice, dear.
Isn't it past your bedtime?
The other nice thing is that we spent the last month since our 100th episode spectacular just receiving all sorts of very kind words and well wishes from all of our lovely Flashketeers, and it's just been really nice. It's been really nice to have this endless praise gushing all over us. But also
it's phrasing, yes. Okay, continue. Thank you.
We've had goodwill oozing into every crack. Seriously though, thank you all so much for your very, very kind words. I know we said it last time. We always say it, but like we couldn't do the show without all of you. So it's really nice to hear such kind well wishes and all that good stuff. And yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed the 100th episode, by the way. Yeah. That was a lot, wasn't it?
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're still recovering.
I'm just about done. I've finished feeling better from the 9 hours of Control-Alt-Delete that we subjected ourselves to.
Hey. The recordings were 9 hours.
Three of them were on Vile's birthday. We ruined his birthday in the service of the podcast. That's dedication.
That's how you know that Vile's a real one.
He's a real one.
Thanks, Vile. Hey, thanks, Vile, if you're listening, email in, flashinthepankarts@gmail.com.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Speaking of emails, though, I would like to ask our lovely Flashketeers to email in, because I would like you to tell us, in honor of Saturday Morning Watchmen, tell us about an adaptation that missed the point completely.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you want to email in and rant about the Watchmen film or TV show or the Watchmen sequel comics, then go ahead. But obviously, this is open to any and all adaptations that you think really didn't get it. And of course, you can do that at our email address, flashinthepancast@gmail.com, which is also where you should email all of your other stuff, suggestions for cartoons we should cover in future, answers to the many questions we have posed this episode. If you have questions for us, if you have love, hate, indifference, we don't get a lot of indifference mail.
No. That's probably because people wouldn't email out of indifference.
Maybe you can be the first, Flash Kid.
Just an email's like, I am indifferent to you. Good day. Full stop.
Dear Tom and Alex, you have a podcast. Bye.
Thanks. No, not even thanks. Just end of email, period.
But yes, this has been lovely. Email in. tell us cool. Tell us some cool things about you. What did you have for breakfast? I don't know. That's why I'm asking. So I've completely lost the plot. I think we should wrap things up.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex, you're on the yes. internet.
Yes.
Where should people go to look at you on the internet?
You can find me. You can find me on. I'm still gonna say it because you can still get there if you type into your web browser twitter.com/dex01. You can still find my account. Miraculously, it's still there. Wow, they didn't find a bullshit reason to get rid of me yet. also, you can find me on co-host as co-host.org/DEX01. I am on co-host. I have not choasted in a second, but I would like to fix that sometime because co-host is nice. I like co-host. It's good. Mm-hmm. I enjoy choasting. I like Eggbug. He is my friend.
Yeah, choasting is good. I have very much enjoyed reading all the choasts.
And also joined the other website recently. I have a few reservations about being on the place in the first place, considering who it's run by, but I got a key, so I was like, why fuck not? I guess I'll sign up for this just in case. You can find me on the fucking Blue Sky website. I am Princess Punk on Blue Sky.
Princess
if you would
Punk.
Like to find me there. Yep. And then everything else, all my music stuff, video stuff, alexvalentine.card.co, and streams every Saturday and Sunday over at twitch.tv/x/splashzonex.
Nice. I am also on the Blue Ski. I'm on the co-host. I haven't posted there yet, but I have been lurking. Blue Sky. It's like Twitter was like 3 years ago.
Yep.
Have fun.
It's fine. It's missing some stuff. It'll probably get updates to it as we go. But I feel less mad when I look at Blue Sky versus Twitter.
Ooh, that's nice.
So it's doing something right, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I follow less people. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. Co-host is pretty cool. I'm enjoying co-host a lot.
Co-host. Go co-host. Co-host.org. Sign up. Yeah. Sign up right now.
You can also find the podcast on Twitter at FlashITPancast or FlashItPancast. But more importantly, you can find us on our website, flashinthepancast.com, where you can find links to every episode we've ever recorded, as well as all of the cartoons we've ever covered in our master list. And it's a good place to hang out. There's such a back catalogue. If you haven't listened to the old stuff, there's some very good episodes there. So go and check those out. If you would like to stay updated with the podcast proper, you can also follow our Patreon, patreon.com/flashinthepan, where we can offer you early episodes if you slip us a little bit of money. Yeah.
Goodness.
Get episodes
me.
Like a week early. It's cool. And if you give us a little bit more money, you get access to our very cool and chill Discord server where you can suggest stuff, talk to us, and I don't know, tell us what cool music you've been listening to. It's a very nice, relaxed place.
Yes.
The most recent discussion on our server was about an animated puzzle game called The Many Pieces of Mr. Koo.
It's a thing. I don't know what that is, but I'm really glad that I know about that now.
Yes, very much so. Flash in the Pan on Patreon. Go, go, go. Throw money at us. Help us with, like, you know, server fees and all that kind of thing.
So, yeah, it's just running costs, mostly.
Yeah. thank you, as always, to our very gracious web host, speaking of hosting, our very gracious web host, Alicia E. Garnson. You can find her writing and recording at alicia-garnson.com. That is also a good place you should go. I believe that's everything we needed to talk about. We've had a fun time. I enjoyed all the cartoons we watched today. Even if Bebo. Anyway, until next time. Thank you very, very much for listening. I have been Tom.
And I've been Bebo.
No, you haven't. Do it right.
I've been Alex.
And until next time, I swear to God, if you kill one more Australian in my restaurant, I'm going to put this phone in your ass.
Have a great flash.
Flash in the pan.